Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley, this is CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are very pleased to be joined by one of the newer members of the San Jose Sharks organization, forward Ty Felliber. Ty, first and foremost, welcome to San Jose. Walk us through what it's like to be a free agent and how you ultimately signed the one-year deal with the Sharks.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I'm excited. It's always stressful, just especially the end of your contract once July 1 hits, but I was lucky enough to kind of get it done right away on the first couple hours of July 1. So it was great for me. And then when San Jose came calling, it was kind of a no-brainer to go there for me. I think I like the way that they've played. You know, it's an exciting team with the NHL. And, I have a couple buddies that are with the Sharks. And then with the American League team, the Barracuda, they've always been a hard team to play against. And I just feel like that organization does it the right way. And with them both in the same city, I thought that was very attractive to me. And it's so nice to get those done right away on July 1.
Yeah, it's not going to be an issue for you going into a locker room and not knowing anybody, just going through your past. I may be missing a couple. I know you played with Jimmy Huntington a couple of times in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. and also within the Tampa organization. Kiefer Sherwood, you played with in Milwaukee, Yaroslav Askarov. And then, of course, Alex Barre-Boulet, who you were with last year in Colorado, and Kyle Kaiser, who you played a little bit with last year in Colorado as well. Am I missing anybody that you've played with or you know that you will be joining in San Jose?
Yeah, Ty Dellandrea. I played with him in Texas a bit. We still are really, really close friends today. We get together every summer, and then Mason Marchment, we were just knew each other from Toronto Maple Leafs camp, but another guy that I've kept in contact with and go on a golf trip with every year with Dellandrea and Marchment. So it's pretty exciting just knowing a lot of guys in the organization. It definitely makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah, now that you've been around the block a little bit, does it feel like that is the case wherever you go, there's some sort of connection, somebody that you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And if you haven't played with anybody, you've had a couple of your best friends play with them and kind of give you the scouting report on all the lads. So, it's a small, small world, but it's awesome. And you make connections right away. And, it's nice knowing people, but also the guys that I haven't met, it's nice going in and just, you know, you played against them or you've seen them, and then just to get to know them as a person is always awesome.
So I spoke with Alex Barre-Boulet last week. He was your teammate last year in Colorado, and he said, you're going to love this guy. He's the ultimate glue guy, incredible personality, extremely outgoing, going to bring everybody together. Have you always been that way? Is that just who you are, somebody who can kind of bring everybody together and connect the group?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important. I really take pride in that, just, you know, making sure all my teammates are having a great day. And, you know, I don't really have a bad day, to be honest with you, when I show up at the rink. It's just awesome. I love my teammates, and I want all my teammates to gel together and have fun and get together outside of the rink. And I think that's so important. I've been lucky enough on the last couple of years to play on some great teams and go far into the playoffs. And I think a big part of that is just getting the guys gelled together, wanting to have each other's backs. And, I think that's such an important part of the game. And like I said, just making sure everybody's having a great day at the rink.
Well, you were an undrafted player. You've taken a windy road to get this point, but you've had an extremely successful career. You're entering now your eighth pro season as an undrafted player. You've been in different leagues. You finally got to the NHL a couple of years ago. As you have a chance to reflect, and you're very much in the middle of your career, how much pride do you take in into yourself that you've been able to have this type of career and continuing to play and honestly probably playing some of the best hockey of your career?
Yeah, it's so much fun. The whole path to to finally make my debut in the NHL was so fun, and I enjoyed it all. And you know, there were some downs for sure, and a lot of ups, and but it was just so much fun. Even, you know, taking my time and spending it in the East Coast League, playing with some of my best buddies, you know, and making friends for life in that league, and kind of getting back to the player that I wanted to be. That was a huge credit to Fort Wayne for kind of helping me out with that. And then just figuring out my game in the American League, what works, what doesn't work, and kind of getting that confidence back. I think a big thing was just getting my confidence back as an offensive guy, but trying to figure out other ways to contribute to the team. And it's just been such a fun ride, and yeah, happy to keep things going in San Jose.
Let's dive into that a little bit. We'll talk about your NHL debut a couple of years ago, but that stint in Fort Wayne, kind of a pivot point in your career a little bit. You had played essentially 3 years in Texas in the American Hockey League, and then you find yourself in Fort Wayne in the East Coast League. How did you view that experience? It sounds like just the guy you are, you took it in stride and you had a good attitude and you just enjoyed where you were at. But for somebody who was obviously trying to push for an NHL opportunity, how did you view that experience? And was it discouraging at times, feeling like you were almost going backwards a little bit in your career?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, I didn't get much opportunity with the Dallas organization. And they had good teams, but they didn't see eye to eye with me as a player. And that was tough, but just to kind of always keep that belief. And you know, my first 3 years weren't great. Still trying to figure myself out in pro and in my game. But and then that summer, I didn't get a single AHL contract offer. So, you know, you hear like a normal kind of observation would be to go over to Europe and kind of start over there. But I just really felt like I had a lot more to prove, and that I could make it to the NHL. And if it meant me signing an East Coast deal and then kind of being open to 32 AHL teams, I wanted to do that. And then to play with one of my neighborhood best friends, Matthew Bowdens, he just lives down the street in Pembroke. I thought that was a cool opportunity. And then it turned out to be the best decision for me, where I was open to a number of AHL teams and got, you know, just kind of had fun playing hockey again. And it was definitely a hard league, but I think it was a little easier for me to produce offense and get my confidence back, which was so much fun. And just really enjoying the game again and not really overthinking anything. And then I took it in stride to go to Milwaukee and do well there, and then end up signing there for the next year.
Can you talk about the adjustment from junior? Because your final year in junior, you scored 59 goals. I mean, you're an elite offensive producer in the OHL, yet you come to pro and maybe you're put into a different situation, playing more of a bottom six, not given power play opportunities, not being relied on offensively. How did you adjust your game? Because you have found a little bit of a niche. When we've seen you play in Colorado, you play with some tenacity, some edge. You play with pace. You get under the skin of the opposing team, but you also chip in with offense. So as you were working into your pro career, how did you adjust your game and find different tools in your toolkit to be successful?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of right away. Like everybody that's there is their, you know, the best junior players. And that was different for me. I didn't really understand. And then I think I tried to change my game too much early on. Just kind of getting in my own head a little too much, where, you know, I wasn't scoring, and that's what I've been used to for a while as being a offensive production guy. But as I grew older and kind of shaped my game a little bit more, I think it really came into a stride in Milwaukee. And then Colorado, I was put in a really good opportunity where, you know, I was never given the opportunity to kill penalties, you know, all through junior and then through pro until I got to Colorado. So that was a big thing for me, where I just felt comfortable and took pride in, you know, defending and penalty killing, where normally all I used to care about was power play and kind of producing offensively. I found a really good kind of structure in my game where, I know I have that goal scoring capability and those offensive capabilities, but just working hard on the penalty kill and killing off those penalties, I think benefits the team and just kind of finding a role in that as well. And I think that's stretched out my career a little bit longer than, you know, what you'd think after my first 3 years.
Yeah, Drew Remenda, who's an analyst for the Sharks, he does some Barracuda games with me. He always talks about finding your B game because, you know, there's all these different players that come out of junior and college who can score, but how do you fit in and find your niche at the pro level? That year you played in Fort Wayne, you also played in Milwaukee, and it seemed like you found a home because you end up playing there the following year on a full-time basis. What was the fit in Milwaukee? Why was that something that worked out as well as it did for you?
I think, it was a good opportunity to go into right away from Fort Wayne where Nashville wasn't doing as well as they planned. So they called a lot of the bigger guns up from Milwaukee. So that gave me a really good opportunity to play a lot of minutes and, you know, be in every single game in the American League, which I wasn't used to. I was usually scratched, you know, 60% of the time by my third year. So that was really exciting for me. And then just finding that confidence that and belief that I can do really well in this league and produce and kind of contribute to the team.
How much does success in your mind for a player start and stop between the years? You talk about confidence. You talked about maybe losing it for a little bit, rediscovering it. As you get older and you realize what it takes to be successful, how much in your mind does it revolve in your mind to be successful?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I just think as you grow a little bit older, you understand, you know, what's going to give you a better chance of going up to the NHL or give yourself a better chance for your team to win in the American League, whatever it may be. I think it's just understanding that, you know, it's not really always the flashy plays or you really can't cheat the game at all, especially in the American League. I think like you got to be on the right side of the puck. You got to be responsible and kind of build that trust with the coaching staff. And, you know, you might come out of the games with, you know, not much offensive production, but you played a really solid game. And I think if you want to go up to the NHL, there's guys that are producing offensively that won't be your job, you know? So you find kind of those roles and you get really good at it and kind of chip away and just kind of shape your game as an all-around player.
Shot score! Listen to live San Jose Barracuda play-by-play with Nick Nolenberger. From highlight reel goals to spectacular saves and bone-crushing hits, the voice of the Barracuda, Nick Nolenberger, is on the mic for it all.
Center with the opportunity for the hat trick! He scores!
Find all preseason, regular season, and postseason action via the Sharks Plus SAP Center app and at sjbarracuda.com. The future of the Sharks lives here.
Looking for the place to hear country's biggest artists? Bay Country is the Bay Area's only country radio station.
Start your day Monday through Friday with the Bobby Bones Show from 6 to 10 a.m., Danny Miller, 10 to 3, and me, Emily Harlan, 3 to 7 p.m.
Bay Country is your home for country, no matter where you are. Listen to us on 94.5 throughout the Bay Area, 92.1 in the East Bay, and stream us at kbaycountry.com.
The Bay Area's only country radio station, Bay Country. Country.
The Sharks Audio Network is the home for everything related to the San Jose Sharks and San Jose Barracuda.
Streaming live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Every Sharks game and San Jose Barracuda game.
Reaction you can only find here.
The Sharks Audio Network is available live via the Sharks Plus SAP Center app.
And on demand by searching Sharks Audio Network on your favorite podcast platform.
To learn more, visit sjsharks.com/listen.
If it happens with the Sharks,
it's on the Sharks Audio Network.
You're listening to CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda. Now, back to the interview.
We're talking to recently signed forward Ty Felber. Last year, you were in Colorado. The year before, you guys were knocking on the doorstep to reach the Calder Cup Final. Had a really, really good team the last couple of seasons. You signed in Colorado originally 2 years ago, and I don't know if you had major expectations, but you break into the NHL, and we talked about playing in the American League, going down to the ECHL, kind of the yo-yoing between those two leagues, and then you find yourself in the NHL. Can you just walk us through how that all came to be, how you found out that chance was going to be given to you, and just how the stars aligned when you signed in Colorado?
Yeah, it was that was my only AHL offer that year, and it happened early, but I signed that AHL deal with Colorado, and I was just put in a really good spot. Aaron Schneekloth was the head coach. Tim Branham and Dan Hino were all coaches my first year, and they just kind of saw something in me, and you know, gave me that confidence to play on a regular basis and try me in new roles and PK and whatnot. And I just felt like it was I had two really good line mates too, with Matthew Phillips and Jason Magna. And everything just kind of aligned where, you know, everything was, you know, the goals were kind of going in, and I was working really hard, and just didn't really have any expectations. Just was happy to, you know, not be sitting in the stands every second game in the American League. So, you know, that was huge for me. And then just kind of had fun with it, with playing that many minutes in the American League, and just didn't really take a day for granted, I think, because, you know, I know how hard it can be, and you know, I was just really privileged to be a regular player in the American League, and then to get called up to the NHL. They brought me in after a game, and the coaching staff let me know, and that was just a surreal experience for me. But I always knew that, you know, I could do it, and I always had that belief in my mind, no matter if I was in the East Coast or in the stands of an AHL game for the, you know, 30th time that season. I always knew that I could make it if I was given the opportunity and if I really put my best foot forward. So it was just such a cool experience, and just really, really thankful for everybody with the Colorado organization for making that happen.
Now, you make your NHL debut on December the 16th of 2024 in Vancouver. What were the emotions as you step onto the ice? I'm sure you had a rookie lap, and just realizing that this culmination of hard work through youth hockey, through your parents driving you to practices, through all the sweat and tears over the years, for it all to come together in this moment. Like, what was going through your mind realizing that a dream was being fulfilled?
Yeah, I couldn't stop grinning ear to ear the entire day. And then especially when I hit the ice, I was just so happy. And there's a video there when I spotted my family, and all my buddies flew out from Pembroke to Vancouver to surprise me. So it was just so cool to be able to share with my family, who sacrificed so much for me, and my brother, who's, you know, always been there for me, always pushing me, playing on the outdoor rink growing up. He was 2 years older, so he's always a lot better than me, and just made me kind of the hockey player I am today. And, you know, like I said, my parents drive me to practice and stuff. We don't live too close to the city, so they were driving me a lot of hours in the car, and then my buddies just, you know, just kind of being there for me and just so happy. And it was kind of a game for them as much as it was for me. It was a game for them, just, you know, to live through that experience with them, and just knowing the whole support system I have back home. I couldn't stop smiling the entire day and then into that night.
What do you think a young kid could take away from your story and path?
Yeah, I think just have fun with it. Hockey's fun. And, you know, if you really work hard and believe in yourself, good things are going to happen. But also just to be a good teammate and, you know, always be happy for everybody and kind of, you know, be yourself anywhere you go, no matter what league it is. Just kind of be yourself and stay true to the roots. And yeah, like I said, work hard and have fun, and good things will happen.
So you mentioned you're from Pembroke, Ontario, and that's where you're spending your off seasons. What was it like growing up there? And it's just ingrained in the culture. It'd almost be odd if you didn't become a hockey player, at least play it as a kid. But how did this journey begin? What are your earliest memories of strapping on the skates and getting on the ice and falling in love with the sport?
Yeah, I think a big thing here was just playing on the lake and, just growing up playing with my cousins and my brother. You just shovel off a path on the lake, and You know, even before I was in organized hockey, that's what I'd do. And then my dad built us a rink out front in our driveway here in our backyard. And just those are really the early memories and, you know, just how fun that was. And, you know, those minus whatever nights where you're freezing cold, but you're just having so much fun playing hockey. And then parents are calling you in for dinner and all of that. And I think that's where you really fall in love with the game. And yeah, those are definitely my earliest memories. And then going into the big rinks, growing up, getting dressed by the fireplace at 6 years old or whatever it was, and showing up full equipment there. And then dad tying the skates and going on the real ice surface was cool too. So yeah, just those memories playing on the pond growing up.
I'm assuming, well, you said you were actually closer to Ottawa. So did you grow up an Ottawa fan as opposed to a Maple Leaf fan?
Yeah. So my grandmother was a big Maple Leafs fan. So I was kind of on that train when I was too young to have my own opinion, and then kind of realized Ottawa's a lot closer. We can go to games, and I like their mascot there, Sparty Cat. So I started being an Ottawa fan, yeah, for my childhood.
So when you were on the outdoor rink, who were you envisioning that you were? Who was your favorite player, the guy you looked up to?
On that, it would have been probably Marty Havelat, you know, Danny Heatley in 07. You know, you love Chris Neal, all those guys there. So, and then it was just so cool. Yeah, just really lucky with the teams that they had back then and being so close to it.
Yeah, you grew up in a great era of Sens hockey for sure. You mentioned your older brother. Is that your only sibling?
Yes.
And was it just a situation like so many younger brothers where you're just following the lead of your older brother?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And kind of all of our friends and stuff, a lot of siblings through our friends. So everybody would just kind of hang out together and get together at the pond and stuff. So it's a good community here.
We're talking to Ty Felliber, just recently signed by the Sharks on July the 1st to a one-year, two-way contract. You played in the OHL as a kid who grew up in Ontario. Was that the dream beyond playing in the NHL? Was that something you always wanted to do, was play in that league?
Yeah, absolutely. There was, like, I didn't really know too much about the OHL or anything, but yeah, the Pembroke Lumber Kings were basically the NHL to us growing up. It was just so cool. Every Sunday night we'd go to the games, and my mind didn't go too much further until I was kind of in the draft year there at 15 and realized it would be a possibility. So yeah, I didn't really think too far ahead, but yeah, it was definitely pretty cool to play in that league.
Looking ahead to this upcoming season, it's going to be a new environment for you. I know every year brings excitement and you look forward to what is to come. You mentioned what San Jose presented. It's a young team on the rise. We just all saw the big contract that Macklin Celebrini just signed to become the highest paid player in the league and is soon to probably be the face of the league. So as you look at San Jose, where they're going, what they are as a franchise at this point, why was it in your mind the right call and the right decision?
I think it's just, you know, at the NHL level, it's a really exciting team. They were so close to making the playoffs, and they got a lot of really good pieces, and I think they got even better during free agency. I think it's definitely one of the top teams to watch, that's for sure, and a lot of excitement around them. And then with the American team, like I said, they've just been a really good team. I've always finished games, whether we've won or lost, and said that was a hard game and it was tough to beat those guys, or they played a really good game and they beat us. And then just with both teams being in, you know, the same practice rink, just kind of, you know, same area, I think that's really cool, because you see a lot of teams just that are affiliated, but, you know, you would never see management, or you'd never see those players too much. So to see them on a day-to-day basis is cool. And I think it's very motivating that it's you know, you're just a street over or call away from joining the big club. So, and I hear they do it really right there. And I've already talked to a lot of the training staff, and everybody seems dialed in and wants you to perform at your absolute best, and they're going to do anything they can to get you there.
Yeah, that really is the beauty of the setup, because oftentimes you look up into the stands, Mike Greer, the GM of the Sharks, he's usually taking in practice, Joe Will, the Barracuda GM. So nothing really slips through the cracks, as opposed to how it used to be when the team was all the way on the East Coast and it felt like for some of the players, they were just being forgotten about. It's not the case anymore. So, Ty, we're excited to have you. I've seen you a lot. I saw you in Texas for several years. I saw you in Colorado. Always appreciated your game. Nice to have you on this side as well. At times, you tormented those in teal. So good to get you on this side. Excited to meet you in person. But we appreciate the time and enjoy the rest of your summer. And we look forward to seeing you in the fall.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nick, for having me. I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time.
You've been listening to San Jose Barracuda Hockey. San Jose Barracuda Hockey is brought to you by Kaiser Permanente, by TechCU, by Bloom Energy, by DEFCON, and by Royal Coach.
Shot score! Listen to live San Jose Barracuda play-by-play with Nick Nolenberger. From highlight reel goals to spectacular saves and bone-crushing hits, the voice of the Barracuda, Nick Nolenberger, is on the mic for it all.
With the opportunity for the hat trick! He scores!
Find all preseason, regular season, and postseason action via the Sharks Plus SAP Center app and at sjbarracuda.com. The future of the Sharks lives here.
Looking for the place to hear country's biggest artists? Bay Country is the Bay Area's only country radio station.
Start your day Monday through Friday with the Bobby Bones Show from 6 to 10 a.m., Danny Miller, 10 to 3, and me, Emily Harlan, 3 to 7 p.m.
Bay Country is your home for country, no matter where you are. Listen to us on 94.5 throughout the Bay Area, 92.1 in the East Bay, and stream us at kbaycountry.com.
The Bay Area's only country radio station, Bay Country.
The Sharks Audio Network is the home for everything related to the San Jose Sharks and San Jose Barracuda.
Streaming live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Every Sharks game and San Jose Barracuda game.
Reaction you can only find here.
The Sharks Audio Network is available live via the Sharks Plus SAP Center app.
And on demand by searching Sharks Audio Network on your favorite podcast platform.
To learn more, visit sjsharks.com/listen.
If it happens with the Sharks,
it's on the Sharks Audio Network.
The future starts now. San Jose Barracuda 2026-27 season tickets are officially on sale. Be there for every hit, every save, every heart-pounding goal. Live. As a Battery member, you'll unlock exclusive events with players and coaches. Can't make a game? No problem. With our ticket exchange program, you'll never waste a ticket. Plus, catch every away matchup with the AHL TV on Flow Hockey package for Teal members. Snag your seats now by calling 408-977-4747 or head to sjbarracuda.com.
If you can't wait for the Sharks to hit the ice and are looking for a good reason to visit the SAP Center, you have tons of events to choose from all year round. Hot concerts, sports, and more. Check out the full schedule of upcoming events at Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the San Jose Sharks and the NHL.
The doctor will see you now.
But do they really? Do they see you as a mother who's a daughter and a caregiver? Fearless, but sometimes fearful? A health nut with a French fry habit? An O-positive geologist named Patty, who's here today for a melanoma exam? At Kaiser Permanente, we believe the only way to care for all of you is by seeing all that is you. Kaiser Permanente, for all that is you. Learn more at kp.org.
Sharks fans, Fieldwork is thrilled to be the official non-alcoholic craft beer and proud partner of your San Jose Sharks. Whether you're at the tank or watching from home, Fieldwork is brewed to be a part of the moment with uncompromising non-alcoholic beers and legendary IPAs to classic lagers and everything in between. Fieldwork has something for every taste and every occasion. Make every occasion special. Drink Fieldwork.
Sharks Audio Network is the home for everything related to the San Jose Sharks and San Jose Barracuda.
Streaming live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Every Sharks game and San Jose Barracuda game.
Reaction you can only find here.
The Sharks Audio Network is available live via the Sharks Plus SAP Center app.
And on demand by searching Sharks Audio Network on your favorite podcast platform.
To learn more, visit sjsharks.com/listen.
If it happens with the Sharks,
it's on the Sharks Audio Network.